Good afternoon. Welcome back to Constant Chaos.
It's not Armchair Expert.
It's Armchair. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? That Frozen 2 is out.
Yep. Kristen Bell, Dax Shepard, Armchair Expert.
Is he in Frozen 2?
I don't think so.
Oh, darn. Don't need to see it then.
My son is so excited though right now because he because he listens to Dax. So, and now he knows who Kristen Bell is. And now he knows about that Frozen 2 is out. He's just doesn't normally care about animation movies. And all he wants to do is go see it because now he can picture Kristen in his head.
And she's related to Dax.
And it's all good. And he's listened to them talk on the podcast together.
Okay. So what are we doing today?
Yeah. Sorry. So we are here today with the wonderful Miss Lainey. Who I'm going to let introduce herself and talk a lot about her programs and what her mission is in life these days.
Hello, everyone. I run two different types of academic support opportunities for families in the Bay Area. And one of them is a nonprofit called Core Education Academy. It is a nonprofit school working with kids with ADHD, dyslexia,
general learning differences.
And then that's third through eighth grade. It's a full day, 9 to 2:30, as well as we provide a therapy academic coaching after school, K to 12th grade. And that runs all year round. We do summer classes, private sessions to support the academics that the kids are having a hard time learning in the public and private schools in our area.
Great. So how did you come to found these schools and when did you start?
Well, I started at a private school here in Walnut Creek. I taught there for 21 years. Okay. And during that time, I went to graduate school in the 90s, and I learned I was dyslexic because I had a really hard time when I was little. And when I graduated from high school back in 1985.
Oh, dates.
Yes. It made sense when I learned when I went to graduate school, that was my problem. And then from that, because being dyslexic, you have a great MacGyver mind.
Yeah.
I created curriculum and my kindergartners all read when they left. And then I left and started the private practice, Lainey's Learning Lane, and helped a lot of kids and created curriculum. And over X amount of years, I don't know how long I did that. 6 years ago, I started the school because families were like, we don't know where to put our kids and because they're not learning. And I said, I'll just put a school together.
I mean, you had that experience, Christy.
Oh, I mean, yeah, my son couldn't learn in elementary school and it just got harder and harder. And with ADHD, it just became such a challenge to just have him survive. And if it hadn't been for CORE, I mean, it saved our lives.
Well, you were one of those parents that came to our info meetings, like many when they come to me and parents are usually like, we don't know what to do. And I remember.
We know those parents.
Yeah. And you were sitting there, Christy, just like sharing me with how your son was just not doing well. And you were just completely lost, didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sad, actually.
Do you find you get a lot of kids that are sort of falling out of the system at different stages for different reasons? What's like the standard or what are the experiences that they're bringing to CORE? Like what's happening with them?
The common denominator with every single family would be their children aren't learning in a way that works for them. It's the presentation of information in the schools that are not working. And with the CORE
curriculum.
Yeah. When that was implemented, there's the word. so many children who don't learn that way and hate math. Mm-hmm. I have more children disliking math than ever before. And since that has been rolled out, the amount of people come to me is just,
they can't take it in their public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because all the writing?
Yeah. It's more language based.
Mm-hmm.
That's what has happened. Too much language instead of old school
numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been probably the biggest problem, and the number of IEPs in our area, it's ridiculous. One principal told me in a school around here, they went up like 50% in IEPs compared to the previous year.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
What are the IEPs for?
Just accommodations and diagnosing these kids, explaining why they're not learning.
Wow.
And a lot of them are dyslexic and ADHD. And fairly recently, dyslexia even became a word we could use in our area. That was never really a big... So they didn't really know how to help kids with who are dyslexic, which that was another big reason I had a lot of families.
So are most of the kids in here, are they ADHD and dyslexic? Because we know there's a huge comorbidity with that. So,
some are just dyslexic. Some are just ADHD. But usually they tend to have pieces of both.
So you get the impulsiveness on top of it.
Yeah, sometimes. A lot, or the
inattentiveness.
Yeah.
So what are these kids like when they, so we talked, you started with saying like how lost and we were just, I mean, I remember crying at the info session and I still think I cry at every time I see, like when you brought in the kids that were going to high school, I was in the back crying again, like to see, and every graduation I cry, like I can't stop crying. And just seeing how, like what these kids are like when they get to you and where they come through the, like in your program has been so enlightening to me. You know, we're not out yet. We haven't graduated yet. But so what are you seeing in those kids when they come to you? Like how, what's their mindset? What's their behavior like? What, you know, how are they feeling in their self-esteem?
I would say more than half, because we have kids come do shadow days before they start our school, so they get a feel for our school. I would say more than half of the new kids are so excited to be here because that shadow day gives them a taste of, oh my gosh, this is nothing like where I currently am. So that's a chunk, and so they're just so grateful. They're great. You know, a couple months in, we start seeing, you know, all the little things the kids bring in. But in general, they're pretty happy. Then we have the other percentage that they are just, they don't trust us. They don't believe they can learn. Terrible self-esteem, to your point.
They've been beaten down so long.
And I am actually, several of them, so shocked how much they don't know. In fifth and sixth grade, when we get them, these kids don't even... barely can read basic words, can't spell to save their lives. And I am shocked how they got to sixth grade. Really not being able to do much of anything, like second grade level stuff. Oh, it's shocking how they just move along.
Just keep pushing them and pushing them. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle that? Like, how does that work then? So they get here and they're in a certain grade, but they're not.
Well, because of the curriculum we use, which is what we created, or I did, it's done in a way and it's built in a way that the kids pick up. They learn so quickly because it's just their brains are like, this makes sense, finally. And they jam through. So usually, I think the hardest thing is when you're in the public school, there's this hamster wheel that you all are on. And you have first grade, you have to learn this, second grade and third grade. And there's all these checking of the boxes. Well, my program is very fluid where they come, they just learn. And then it's just a natural thing. So when I need to talk to schools about IEPs with the kids I have, what grade level are they at? You know, what are the baselines? And I don't do well with that because my program is so not that. But yet when they leave here, that they are... they have these strategies that they never would have gotten to schools, and it's very helpful for them.
So do they now, when they're getting to the end, do they have a sense of how they learn?
Yes, 100%.
And so say they leave here and they go back into the system. How does that work? How does that work for them?
He's a student of ours. He was with us 5 years. He just started his ninth grade year at Las Alamos High School. That's okay to say Las Alamos.
Totally fine.
And he came back and shared with me, I'm like, how's it going? You know, you've left this world of 5 or 4 years. I can't keep track. And he goes, the one thing that he learned, which was so wonderful to hear, he said, some of the teachers just don't teach well. And I now know it's not me.
Mm.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? And he came from an elementary school in the area, and he was not a happy camper when he came, hated school because it was always his fault.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And having that knowledge when you leave here to know it's not you who's the problem.
Right.
That's huge.
That is life changing.
Right.
And so the strategies we provide and the other piece that's huge, which is why it's hard for parents to believe me on this one, which I get, I don't let the parents be involved with the homework because I need them to be able to want to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so he had all those strategies and the understanding of the importance of doing his homework and getting help if he needed help or reaching out to us. But between those two things, he is doing great, motivated, happy, you know, it's great. It's good.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So how do you do it? You must have kids that are at all different levels that come in here. Yep. Some can read, some can know their math, some have great self-esteem, some have been beaten down by the system. How do you take these kids? It sounds like they all need a kind of an individualized path to get to the end of, to get to eighth grade and on to high school.
I think the common denominator with that is the, our program is so built to fill all these holes because it's so, it's very, executive functioning-esque. Mm-hmm. We do everything we make is scaffold, color-coded, plug and play. So it doesn't matter if you're an eighth grader that struggles with writing or a fourth grader, that plug and play makes it so easy for them to see the pieces of things that we do. And they just, they get it really quickly. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's interesting because, so my daughter who has gone through the public school system just fine, the other night was having some struggles studying for one of her tests, and it's not material that is super familiar. It's all new. It's government and policy and economics. And I was helping her study and quizzing her, and I was like, wait a minute. Okay, we're going to make a chart, and you're going to write all this down, but you need to get your colored pens out.
Yeah. Keyword.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it worked. Like it, you know, it worked. She, it helped the visualization process. And so it seems to me like this could work on anybody. Like it's a good
Absolutely.
Way to teach.
Yes. And it does. That's the argument I get. Well, what about the kids that don't need it? Okay. Who doesn't like to see a little bit of color? And my God.
I know we've had these conversations like about with dyslexia. Like there's techniques to teach kids that are dyslexic how to read that would appeal, that would work for the neurotypical or non-dyslexic kids as well. So why isn't that in the public school? Why does that have to be separate and more expensive and not available?
Great question. $1 million question.
I know.
It's like really they're making it more complicated for themselves.
Yes. And the other thing that I hear a lot, because I have a lot of kids that were in quote resource from public schools and private. Well, private doesn't have that. But I always tell parents, when your child goes into the resource program, ask how they are going to teach your child. Is it going to be anything different than what they came from?
Just more of the same.
Just, oh, there's four kids in the class instead of 30. But the curriculum is
right.
is exactly the same. And that's the problem. Nothing's going to change. I mean, I'm
right.
sure there's a few of them out there that might, but nothing changes. It's all in the how you teach things. And going back to your question about learning in kindergarten, the program I created with pictures and things, I taught it to my whole entire kindergarten class. And instead of just seeing a boring A or a boring TH, mm-hmm. there's pictures involved. And all kindergartners love to see pictures. So you hit everyone in your class when
mm-hmm.
you use it, to your point.
Yeah.
And then when they travel on, they're not behind because they actually learned the phonics and the
mm-hmm.
you know letters and sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that is so true.
Yeah. No, it's great. It'll be interesting to see, you know, there's so much talk out in the world with these schools now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see, especially since more of the population, it's like now 1 in 5 this, 1 in 5 dyslexic, 1 in 5 ADHD,
right.
1 in 5 autistic, whatever, you know, these numbers are.
Right.
Why not address it in the big picture? Because
maybe we need to go and speak to the assembly about this, Christy. We should take this on.
We can take it on. Let's
we
go.
We should take
DC,
it on.
Here we come.
Just maybe
Sacramento.
Let's start Sacramento.
We'll go small.
The other thing I want to get out into the world, too, is I don't think, and I don't know how this is going to go over, but this is my belief, dyslexia and ADHD and ADD, it's how we're wired, and it's not a disability.
So true.
Because if people weren't dyslexic, we wouldn't have, you know, these amazing people who did amazing things. It's a wiring thing. It's how you're born. So I would love to get rid of
the
disability.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not. I don't have dyslexia. I am,
right,
quote, dyslexic to get the public school world to know, well, why reading's hard for me. But if I read it a different way or taught differently, I would have no issues.
Exactly.
It's funny. I have had people, sometimes family, ask me when the kids are going to be cured. Mm-hmm. Will they get cured and be able to go back into the system? And
will they become normal?
Will they
just
become
like
normal?
Fit into that little box?
Uh huh.
Or fix them? How can I fix my child?
How can it be fixed?
I get that a lot. Can't fix it.
It's embracing it. It's learning how they learn and making them feel good about it, and knowing that it takes all of these people in the world to do fantastic things. And this is just, to your point, the way their brain is wired.
And not define your children on, oh, they have to read 100 books, or they have to read, versus you can read through your ears, audiobooks.
Right.
There's other ways to read. And, you know, it's not about all grades. Don't define you. And
mm-hmm.
especially if you're dyslexic and it's such a language heavy curriculum,
mm-hmm.
you know, most dyslexic kids, it's really hard to struggle, but they're actually quite brilliant. And those grades put so much definition on them. And a lot of sadness comes around.
And then these kids have such a hard time. They think
yes.
they're dumb.
Yes.
And it affects who they become.
Yeah. And then they grow up. I always say, if I could go into the jails of the world,
totally. Yeah.
I would give my little spiel I give with my brain picture. And I would not be surprised if majority of those people are, in my world, right brain, more creative people. And they've been through the system, beat down, told they're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
One day I want to do that.
Did you see the documentary that was out about the about prison in this school in New Orleans?
No.
Okay, so I'll send you the link. It was on, I think it was on CBS. Don't quote me on that. But it did a whole thing about what percentage of the population in prison has had learning challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow,
the system did it. Like, basically kind of the system had a big contribution to where they are in their lives at this point.
We have this one little boy, he's in third grade with us, and I just talked to mom the other night, and she goes, I cannot tell you, he has no more stomach aches, he has no more anxiety, mm-hmm. he loves to come to school, and that's the type of stuff I would love parents to have be a priority then. You know, how much homework are you getting? Or what grades do you have? And for the first time, he's happy.
That's
amazing.
Amazing.
Because of the way the philosophy is here. And instead of just, it's always the kid, not always, but majority of the time, it's the child's fault, not maybe how people are teaching this child or things like that.
Well, the teachers want to sit there and say, you know, I'm presenting this the way I've been
mm-hmm.
taught and the way I'm supposed to present this. And I'm looking out in my classroom.
They're not trained.
And 75 to 80% of the children are following the path. And the ones that aren't are either misbehaving,
mm-hmm.
they're fidgeting.
Why are they misbehaving?
They're not paying attention. They're getting up a million times from their seat. And call it whatever you want. I think that so much of that has to do with their inability to pay attention because they don't understand what's happening. So they're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So they're fidgeting and they're trying to occupy the space in their head that is just confused.
Well, I tell my teachers, if a child's misbehaving is for a reason, to your point,
mm-hmm.
if there's something going on. There's
yeah.
always a reason. Even as parents, if your child is misbehaving, there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to think that way and not just jump to, why aren't you listening to me?
You're in
no
trouble now.
No child wakes
sometimes
up.
Sometimes it's really hard not to do that, though. Just side note. But
it is hard. But you guys, think about this. No child wakes up in the morning and says, I'm purposely going to forget my jacket so my mother yells at me. I'm purposely not going to turn my homework in so I get yelled at by everyone in the world. No child thinks these thoughts when they wake up. It's just something they can't help.
Right. I always say that I don't think any child is born bad.
They're not trying
to be bad kids. They're just trying to like figure it out.
And then you have the parents, bless their hearts, because they're so worried about them. They get so mad at them that you got to read more and just push. And the kid's like, I can't. I'm trying. Well, try harder. And they're just so worried about them, but they don't realize the damage they're doing.
So the hamster wheel is a hard one.
It is a hard one.
That is a very challenging one to let go of. And I find myself getting on and off of it. Like I got off of it. I adjusted, right? I got off of it. I shook off all of the noise in my head and the other parents and everything that was buzzing to me that I wasn't doing this or we should be doing that. But then every once in a while, when we come through another transition, like now looking for a high school,
mm-hmm.
I feel myself like
mm-hmm.
engaging back
mm-hmm.
with that wheel a little bit, trying to figure out where we fit in again in the world, because there's another transition. And I think that it's natural.
Yes.
But I also think it's still damaging, and it's a journey. This is such a journey when you're raising these kind of kids,
mm-hmm.
Or you're even that kind of person yourself, because the world as a whole, even bigger than school, is not set up for it. And I mean, I don't know, you probably can talk more about it, but I'm sure you see parents coming in and out, stepping on and off the wheel during their period of time here.
Yeah. And they get scared, which I understand. Is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is my child going to be ready for high school? And I think for me, now that this is our sixth year and everyone that has graduated, you know, I'm getting, you know, responses from the parents and the students, how well they're doing in their schools, no matter if it's public school, private school, one-on-one. And I think that the number one thing is the sense of confidence they have, their ability to have strategies that they never would have learned before to apply no matter where they go. And they mm-hmm. feel like they can do anything because they have the strategies to make that happen. I mean, that to me is why these kids leave here and they do well, you know, or they have the means to not go back to how it was before.
They can, right. they know what they could do to apply themselves correctly.
Yes.
Now, whether they do that or not is going to be up to them, but they've learned the tools and they leave with the tools. You send them out with their little booklets and all their visuals
all the
templates
and a binder with all the ways to be successful. And we are in contact with a lot of them, and a lot of our graduates are always reaching out,
mm-hmm.
telling how much they think they're thankful and they want to come back and visit. But the families that don't make it to the end, to your earlier point, that hamster wheel becomes such a big part of their thinking again. And then they start to worry, oh, so they're not going to be ready, because maybe one of the kids had a standardized test around, say, fourth or fifth grade, and they didn't score well. They're thinking, oh, no, it's not
going
to work.
We're going back.
And all the while, if you're dyslexic, standardized tests aren't our friend. However, if you allow the process to get to the end, they can take tests and do well, because now they have the strategies, because they're still learning how they learn. And, you know.
And this, I guess, doesn't also mean, it's not like they're going to, back to the point, like, of cured. They're not going to roll off. They still will have their IEPs if they need them.
If they need them.
They still can have support structure. Or if you're talking about public school, time and a half
mm-hmm.
on tests, if they have to do some standardized testing or whatnot.
It's all in the how they know their brain works.
Yeah.
That's the kicker.
And figuring out if it's a superpower rather than something that's going to hurt them.
And parents buying in and kids buying in. If I have to draw my pictures till I'm 80 years old, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's such, can't draw anymore. Why do you think books, as you get older, less pictures? How sad is that? Pictures should not go away. I need my pictures. Why
oh
is
my
that?
God.
And the print gets smaller.
Yeah.
Everything.
Just when your eyes are getting worse.
I know. It's awful. Anyway.
So what, you know, I get a lot of questions about why we're at Core Academy and what it's done and everything else. Like, what would you tell parents that are sitting, you know, at home saying, my system's broken and...
There are many different ways that your child can be presented information that, understanding, I think the biggest thing is the student needs to understand how they learn. I think a lot of parents are afraid to tell their kids, oh, you're dyslexic or you have ADHD
mm-hmm.
or they're afraid to medicate or whatever the thing is. The biggest thing is everyone understanding what's on the table for this child. And the children too need to be involved in the decision-making. I've gone to so many IEPs, even the junior high, because I'm like, why isn't the student here being a part of this conversation? They're the ones that
mm-hmm.
can tell you everything. I tell parents, your kid will tell you what they need. So I think it's just, I don't know. It's creating an environment that just allows them to, I guess this is a better way to sum it up. A lot of parents say, I have my so-and-so back.
Mm-hmm.
My, you know, that little kid that I used to see, their personality, they're happy instead of the continuous, to get to homework done. You know, your kid becomes unhappy, depressed, angry. That all goes away. So I guess that's the best way I could answer that.
So to me, it sounds like two things. It's be really honest about what you're dealing with and talk about it. There's nothing wrong with it. Talk about it, work through the solutions, figure out what's going to happen and have your child involved in it. Don't be afraid to say, you have, you know, we did this and this is what we're learning about how your brain's working. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I always say when kids get neuropsych evaluations, we get to know where your smarts live and the things that why they're challenging. Because when kids understand the why they struggle in certain areas, that
it's a relief.
Is life-changing. As if you don't address that, unfortunately, they're going to potentially self-medicate, go to the drugs or whatever, because no one's telling them what is wrong with me, especially when they get older. Something to be very conscious of. And and you as a parent have to be okay with, hey, this is my kid. You know, my kid learns this way. And
love him no matter what.
Yeah. That should be a bumper sticker.
Love him no matter what.
Yes.
Or title of a book. I'm all about the title of books.
All right. Well, we're getting to the end of our time. Is there anything else? Any other
questions?
This
has been fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
I would love you to come and work at the public school and just like give a presentation on how they can incorporate some of this in the lower school, elementary schools and the middle school. It'd be so valuable.
I've done a few of those, which I love. It's hard for people to change.
Oh, I know.
But I think if I can keep doing it, maybe it'll
come in and talk to the parents.
Yes. No, I think I'd love that.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, thank you so much, Lainey.
Thank you so much for your time.
Especially on a Saturday.
Yeah. Before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving. All right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Well, thank you, everyone. We want to especially thank Miss Lainey from CORE Academy in Walnut Creek, California, for being with us today. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at Chaos Podcast. And if you'd like to follow our Facebook page, we're at Constant Chaos. Thanks for joining in.